Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So first of all, I would like to propose the granting of an annual award for the person who reads the Acts reading on Pentecost Sunday, because of the incredible number of obscure places in the world that it mentions. Well done. I remember the first time I tried to read it as a theological student, and I don't think I had rehearsed the reading before I started to read it. And it's one of those things when you're in the middle of it and you're going, just keep on going and pretend you know what you're doing. So anyway, well done. Well done for that. I'm going to speak to you about the reading from the book of Genesis. And I would like us, I'd like to talk to you about this. I'd like to think about this. And that is this, simply. To hear the word of God and to do it is to be a free human being. Just keep that in mind. To hear the word of God and to do it is to be a free human being. So we all know this story, which we heard in the book of Genesis, and which is referred to in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, that humanity has been dispersed throughout the earth, and it's developed the variety of languages. It spoke one language and then has developed a variety of languages and thus a variety of cultures and ways of being and everything that goes with that throughout the earth as a punishment, right? And then in the Acts of the Apostles, what we see is humanity being brought together again, and these differences have overcome, and they are speaking the same language, and so these cultures and these languages become kind of minimized. And maybe we can even see aspects of this in the world as we have a more globalized culture and these differences between us disappear. But of course, none of that is true. And that, in fact, is exactly the opposite of what the book of Genesis in particular is saying and what the book of Acts is saying. Yeah, in fact, as I said, we see the opposite. And that is that in the book of Genesis, God has ordered people to disperse throughout the earth. And that means if they're going to disperse throughout the earth, it means they're inevitably going to create their own languages. They're going to create their own culture. Some will like delicious, spicy food, and some will like beans on toast. I'm not sure beans on toast is a gift from God, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. Like, there'll be, humanity has been ordered to disperse throughout the world and to create its own languages and its own cultures. But humanity has decided that they have a better idea, and the idea is this. We are going to get together. We're going to be in one place. We're going to create. The only thing that comes to mind as a modern example is if you've ever seen the kind of buildings that were created by the Italian fascists during the 1930s and 40s, a great massive unitary state where everyone thinks the same, everybody talks the same, and everybody, even internally, we're all forced to have exactly the same ideas. Humanity has decided that that's what it's going to do, to get rid of all differences, to ignore God, to get rid of all differences, and to create this great unitary state. And the reason they can do that, that they want to do that, is very clear. And that is, if you are going to take on God, you'd better be big, because God is big, right? God is big, so if you want to disobey God, you want to go your own way, you better build yourself a big fascist building. And so they organized in that way. Genesis is very clear about that. And you can see what, as a result of that, you can see what they think, who they think God is, right? If they need to be big to take on God, then God must be big. God must be like a giant who lives in a giant castle and is powerful and really enjoys kind of crushing people. You know, if their state is Mussolini, then God must be Stalin, if you want to think of an analogy. Even bigger and meaner. So when I was back in the day, when I was taught to study scripture, I was told by my New Testament professor, if you're going to study scripture, the one thing that you should always be prepared for is to be surprised. When we go in, we study the Bible, we think we know what it means, but we should always expect for the Bible to surprise us. And here's the surprise in this story, and it's this. God does not come down, like have you ever seen this beautiful little cartoon short film, Godzilla Meets Bambi? Has anybody ever seen that? There's Bambi, da 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 da, and here's Godzilla's feet. That's it. That's the end of the cartoon. Is that fast? God does not come down like Godzilla meets Bambi. It says God came and essentially, it's not the exact words, but God came and dwelt among them. Does anybody remember Psalm 139? O Lord, you look deep within me, and you know all my ways. It seems like God, and this is to the, I would say the surprise, or you can say the ignorance of these people gathered in one place, what they don't realize is God is more human than they are. They are trying to make themselves into giant fascist deities, but God has revealed that he is, as I said, more human than they are. He dwells among them intimately, knows their deepest thoughts, as we all know from experience. And so what happens is when he comes and dwells among them, and remember, this is a line from a famous theologian, that Jesus is not less human than we are, he's more human than we are, when he comes close to them. Because he is that way, the power of his presence doesn't crush them, it disperses them into a million different directions and creates thousands of different languages and thousands of different cultures, which is what he told them to do in the first place. So we can say, well, this is God's great judgment on humanity, you know, that he is dispersed. It isn't really his judgment, it's what he told them to do in the first place. The important part is what comes next. And what comes next is, I don't know if anybody remembers this, after the story of the Tower of Babel, this great unitary state, the story that comes next is not the story of another great empire. The story that comes next is the story of a single man. And that single man is Abraham and his wife Sarah. And they are called, if you recall, they are called out of the city of Ur, which is part of the great empire, and he is called out in simply in this way, as scripture tells us. This single person is called out by hearing the word of God and doing it. A single free man. And so, what does scripture tell us about what God wants of us? Does he want us to be like gigantic empires crushing everything? His intention is that we be free people, and our freedom is created by us individually and then together as families, simply hearing the word of God and doing it. That is what it means to be a free human being. which comes to its culmination in Jesus Christ, who is the ultimately free human being who hears the word of God and does it. So as the kids were saying, Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but at Pentecost, people did not start to speak the same language. They understood each other's languages. They didn't start to speak one language, they simply understood each other. And how is it they could have understood each other? Because the Holy Spirit gave each of them the ability to be free human beings who heard the word of God and did it in Jesus Christ. And to this point, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, he doesn't make us more the same as each other. He makes us more different than each other. I don't mean in a way that we want to tear each other apart. I mean in a way that our own uniqueness comes to fruition. And needless to say, in our parish, we see a little picture of this, what God intended in the first place, and that is the variety of culture, a variety of languages, which is what God wanted for us in the first place, united by one thing. What is this? That we hear the word of God and we do it. That's what's united, and the diversity is a gift. So here's my takeaway this week. What's the most homogenizing thing in our culture, the thing that destroys our uniqueness as individuals and as the variety of cultures that we come from? I have it in my pocket at all times. I have it with me at all times. This and similar things with us destroy the uniqueness of our cultures and the uniqueness of our persons. And those things are to be valued. That's what God wants. He wants this. So I'm not going to tell you I'm going to throw this one, away. I kind of need it. It's not all bad. But what I'm saying is maybe sometimes we could put this thing away. Put a certain book, holy book, in our laps. Look at it, read it, and hear the word of God speaking to us individually. And it will make us more human, and it will make us more free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.